Even those who pride ourselves on being well-read sometimes just hit a wall where we can't bring ourselves to finish a book. We may feel guilty for abandoning it, but not guilty enough to actually see it through to the end. Chicago Tribune culture critic Julia Keller went through a similar bout with Hilary Mantel's novel Wolf Hall. She struggled to finish it and then wondered why we treat books differently than movies or concerts or TV shows, forms of entertainment that some of us just readily turn off or walk away from. So she asked her readers to send her stories about books they never finished but wish they had. And now she knows she's not alone. Keller will join us in a moment. What book did you almost give up on but return to and finished? Or what book has continued to sit unfinished, mocking you from the bookshelf? Give us a call at 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Joining us now from member station WOSU in Columbus is Julia Keller. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, Rebecca.
So Wolf Hall, which won last year's Man Booker Prize, it was your Waterloo, huh?
It was indeed, and I say that with some embarrassment now, of course, because not 2 weeks after I admitted that I found it a bit of a tough go, it then won the National Book Critics Circle Award for fiction as well. So I really, I certainly picked something that everyone else had no problem with and found quite inspiring and delightful.
Well, you did finally finish it, right?
I did. You know, I'm a book critic. I'm a literary critic, and so I'm in sort of a peculiar position. I can't give up sometimes, even if I want to. If it's already on the schedule to review, I must finish. But I thought that Wolf Hall was a good example, though, because I love Hilary Mantel's work. I'd loved her previous novels, and I'd read a lot about this great thick tome that she had produced. And I sat down, and I described in the column, sitting down with a cup of tea at my elbow and just being ready to plunge in. And I found my attention kind of wandering, and it just didn't seem quite as crisp and on target as some of her earlier work had been. And I, as you said at the outset, I was curious if my readers and people of Chicago and elsewhere had the same experience. And lo and behold, in poured the emails. People told delightful, harrowing tales of trying to, as one of them put it, a delightful verb, claw her way through certain novels. And which I thought, once you're using the verb clawing your way through,
maybe you've already lost. Right.
Yes.
Well, Ted Koppel certainly has company in his inability to finish War and Peace.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, War and Peace is one I was actually able to finish. And I don't say that with great pride. I mean, I'm smarter than Ted Koppel. I probably not. But I do think it's not always a measure of length. You'd think it would always be length. You think that it would always be Moby Dick. It would always be Anna Karenina. And yet not. There have been some shorter books, too, that I've had a bit of a problem with, as had my readers. Less a matter of length, maybe, than in our willingness to capitulate to a narrative, to give ourselves over to the story. And sometimes that's not the book's fault. Sometimes it's where we are. I think a lot of people told tales about where they were in their life when they tried to read a certain book, and it was as much a function of who we are as what the book is.
Why do you think we have a hard time giving up on books? What's the compulsion to finish them? Why not just say, life's too short, this book isn't for me, there's a million other books out there?
Exactly. That's what really, really intrigued me at the end of the day in thinking about this. We've all walked out of movies. Heaven knows we click off TV shows with reckless abandon because of course, remote control channel changers. Now with Netflix, we barely give a movie. I think about a minute, 10 seconds is about my length of time now before it's like, that one's out of here. We throw it, you know, back in the mail. Why do we have this special feeling about books? And I kind of mused a little bit toward the end of the column about that very issue. Is there something special about literature and narrative? I, of course, hope that there is. I think all literate people do. And I think this might be a point, a line in our history, in our cultural history, when that reaction tells us that there is something different and special about reading as opposed to watching or listening or being in the presence of in the way we are theater. We can abandon those things without any problem, but there's something about a book that we feel a little respectful of, and we think the author maybe is trying to communicate with us, and we want to give them a little more leverage. We want to cut the author a little more slack.
On the other hand, sometimes you get sentiments like this email from Elizabeth in Portland, Oregon, who says, "The Gormenghast Trilogy by Mervyn Peake, a doorstop of a book that came with gushing reviews, a must-read, blah, blah, blah. I gave it my best shot, about 200 pages or so, and hated every boring page. I have never not completed a book until this one. I regularly relish books of this heft, fiction, nonfiction, you name it, but this one defeated me, and I am not ashamed."
Right. I am not ashamed. You know, what's interesting, too, about this is everybody could name the book that best of them, which, again, is a tribute to the power of books in our lives. If I ask you the last TV show you turned off, you probably couldn't tell me. You'd think, I don't know, maybe it was an episode of Desperate Housewives, maybe it was Lost, maybe it was Burn Notice. You might have trouble sort of going through the rubble of things that you had turned off. But, boy, when it comes to a book, people know instantly when they quit and why.
Infinite Jest, David Foster Wallace. I tried it 3 times.
See there, and you say that without shame, Rebecca, and I appreciate that.
On national radio.
On national radio,
loud,
you admit
and proud.
It. There's no going back now, Rebecca. I think that's a tribute to books. And then I kind of ended my column as well talking about we get a little hung up these days on how books are going to be coming to us. Is it going to be Kindle? Is it going to be iPad? Is it going to be this or that? And I'm far less interested in that. To me, that's almost beside the point. It's which story we're willing to let into our lives for whatever period of time. And again, I kind of regret that I picked Wolf Hall. I mean, it was certainly genuine and legitimate. That was the one that got me thinking about this issue. But in a way, it was kind of beside the point which one it was for me. As I said, there are books that we think we can't finish, and we do, and you get to the end and you think, I can't imagine my life without having read this book. Moby Dick is the one for me. I mean, you try to read it as an undergraduate or a high school student, heaven forbid, and you think, oh, my God, this is worse than a root canal. This is terrible.
Right.
This
you
is
get
awful.
Into the level of detail about the rigging and the, oh.
Oh, and then you come across lines like, gifted with the high perception, I lack the low enjoying power. You know, and you're transfixed, and you cannot imagine the rest of your life without this book right in the center of it, affecting your thoughts and everything that happens to you, even though the chances of you actually being on a whaling ship are pretty remote.
Let's hear from Anne in Pacifica, California. Anne, welcome to Talk the Nation.
Hi. For some reason in high school, I could never finish The Grapes of Wrath. And even though I was able to finish later in life Moby Dick and War and Peace and a bunch of really long, boring things that people would never read, I finally listened to the whole thing on CD borrowed from the library while driving in the car. And I finished it, and I was so pleased that I did because, you know, I always had actually wanted to, finish it in some way. And that book actually works on CD maybe because it's kind of written in a sort of a vernacular kind of American language to begin with.
Yes.
So for those that still want to finish that classic novel, they could try checking out CD books in their life.
Now, see, that's interesting. I would have put Grapes of Wrath on my list, but before that would have been East of Eden. I had actually loved Grapes of Wrath, particularly the chapters where he is talking about the road, and there are those great hymns and poetry to the American road and that wonderful section about cars on the road and all of this. East of Eden was the one that stopped me, and I wanted to like it. I love Steinbeck. I think Travels with Charlie is probably one of the great underrated books in all of American culture. But for some reason, East of Eden was the one for me.
Well, her point about listening to the book instead of reading it is also an interesting one, because I happened to listen to a lot of books on tape, and I was on a kick of sort of American classics I'd never made it to for a while. And I actually turned off The Last of the Mohicans. It's the only time I've turned off an audiobook, but it was something about the production as well as the pedantic writing. I just couldn't do it.
Well, and I was going to say, Rebecca, the fact that you work in radio might give you a little bit of a bias toward listening.
Right.
I'm not sure that I think your objectivity in this could quite be trusted.
Well, no, fair enough. But you're a book critic. Come on.
It's true, and I don't have any problem with audiobooks, and they can be great for long journeys anywhere. I think the experience of listening is very different than the experience of reading, of course. And in terms of what is more exalted or what, you know, which ways our brain apprehends various information, I think sometimes listening to nonfiction for me is easier. I would prefer reading fiction always, I think, than listening to it. I don't know why. That's just me. Maybe I'm crazy. But then again, I wouldn't admit publicly to not finishing Infinite Jest. So.
Right. So we each have something on each other there. That's fair enough. All right. Let's hear from Terry in Oklahoma City. Terry, welcome to Talk the Nation.
Hello. I could not finish 100 Years of Solitude by Gabriel Garcia Marquez.
The old magical realism just did you in. Yeah.
I don't know if it was the translation, but I tried and tried and tried. But I know why we are more frustrated with not finishing books than movies or TV. The books are sitting on our nightstands or on our bookshelves, and they taunt you. They're still there. When you click the remote, it's gone. But your book is sitting there saying, you couldn't do it.
That is a great point. It's a visible reproach. I think you're quite right. Actually, I've ascribed part of the problems newspapers are having to that very thing. When you have newspapers stacking up on your kitchen table with all these wonderful stories you mean to read one day, it becomes a bit of a scolding finger wag in the face.
I think it will change when we start using the iPads and the Kindles more often. It'll be easier to just delete. You know, you'll just get rid of it. It won't be there like a book.
What a great point. That could actually, instead of being the death of literature, this could actually be the renaissance of great literature. I like that.
Terry, thank you for your call. You know, she's not the only person who's mentioned 100 Years of Solitude just as we've been discussing this topic around Talk of the Nation. And that's one of those books that I adored and can't imagine my life without.
That's the thing. What is it when you hear from a friend or, you know, I get from a reader and it'll be some book that, again, I clutch to my bosom, you know, with great passion and fervor, and they tell me they couldn't make it past page 27. My first thought is, what's wrong with them? Is always my first thought. It can't be me. But it does. There's something about our reading matter that is kind of an index to our personalities, and if not our intelligence level, certainly more than just our taste, I think. It goes a little deeper than just personal taste.
We are talking about giving up on a book with Julia Keller. She's the culture critic for the Chicago Tribune. You can join us at 800-989-8255 or send us email. Tell us the book that you couldn't quite make it through. talk@npr.org is our email address, or join the conversation at the website. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's take a call from Courtney in Tucson. Courtney, welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. The book that I had trouble getting through was Cold Mountain. I know it's not Moby Dick, but I had trouble getting through it. I got a tip to read it from a friend at work who was doing it in a book club, and after the first two chapters, I just could not do it. And I tried it like three or four nights in a row. And then a year later, I went back and I did it again. And I got through it, and I loved it.
Ah.
I just thought it was one of the greatest books I ever read. It's like on my list of greatest books.
See, Courtney, so that's a book that I actually finished and sort of wish I hadn't, because I felt like it was his walk home in real time, you know?
Yeah, but I, you know, the story was pretty captivating, and then the movie came out, and I really loved the movie as well. And, you know, I just am glad that I got a chance to read it and then saw the movie. It was good.
And the question is, we know the book didn't change, so obviously you changed in the intervening time, and that's something else books do, don't you think? I mean, it's a bit of a mirror held up, not just to life, I mean, the old romanticism idea, but it's a mirror held out to our journey through life, where we are. I mean, I mentioned Moby Dick, couldn't have gotten through it at all in high school, but coming at it a few years later, it spoke to me in a way that it simply could not have earlier. And again, the book didn't change. Melville's been gone quite a while. So it clearly was me that had to change. I like Cold Mountain a lot. I think the writing style is a bit on the dense side. I enjoy that. And that might very well be a matter of taste. I mean, a writer's style. I found it very densely packed, as it were. You know, it's like opening a can with a lot of things in it, and it's you have to be ready for that. And if you're not in exactly the right frame of mind, it can be pretty tough.
Well, that's why I think it's particularly interesting that you were stumped by the Hilary Mantel book, because you were so in the zone. You had your tea, you had your comfy book. It wasn't that you were trying to wedge it in among other busy things.
No. Crackling fire. I mean, you know, light classical music on the CD player. Couldn't have been better. Comfy chair. No, it was all there. I can't figure out what it is. I love British history. I heard from a lot of readers who said, well, if you knew anything at all about British history, you would have relished this with every fiber of your being. I was ready. And again, I really adore her work. She has several previous novels that are just, they're funny and smart and learned. And I don't know what it was about this. And I suppose if Hillary herself were on the line, she might say, well, perhaps it's not the book, it's me. She might say, it's you, Julia. It's not Hillary.
Yeah. Well, you did finish it, though.
And I did finish it. But again, that's more because of my job. I mean, if I'm going to write about something, to not finish it, people will still ask me, actually, because I write about a lot of books. They'll say, well, did you read the whole thing? And I tell them that would be like asking a movie critic if they stuck around to to that, you know, past the first 15 minutes. Yes, indeed, I did. And I was glad that I finished it. In fact, one reader said to me, perhaps the whole point of getting through a book that you're not mad about is the fact that you got through it to teach you something about life. And while that sounds like a little bit of a Sunday school lesson, I thought she really had a valid point, that it's going through things that we don't think we're going to necessarily enjoy right off the bat. That tells us something about ourselves, the fact that we are able to get to the end. I certainly felt that way about Wolf Hall at the end. I didn't regret the time I'd spent on it, but I was kind of proud of myself for sticking with it.
Let's hear from Mikey in Denver. Welcome to Talk the Nation.
Hi, it's kind of a funny story. At one point a number of years ago, I decided that I needed to read all the Harvard classics, and I thought I had picked up The Agony of the Ecstasy, and I was trying to figure out how this incredible author was going to get this little Russian boy into the Sistine Chapel, because I kept reading and reading and reading. And I've always prided myself on finishing all books. And I kept reading. And finally, I looked at the title and realized I was reading War and Peace. And so I said, okay, you don't have to finish books. And I've never read either one of them.
That is very funny. I think that, you know, that kind of prescriptive reading, which I quite agree with, by the way, and there have been so many wonderful books, a David Denby's book, several, about sort of setting yourself a task and saying, I'm going to read this big hunk of books, this big shelf full of books, be it the Harvard Classics or the Great Book Series that came out of the University of Chicago. I quite agree with that. I think it's a wonderful thing. It's sort of like saying I'm going to join a gym and lose 10 pounds. But probably you have a little better success with the books and with the losing 10 pounds. But I think that's quite wonderful. I mean, as human beings, that we do that. We set ourselves this task and we say, I'm going to get something out of this. And it doesn't mean more money in my pocket or another car in my garage or you know, another sandwich on my plate. It's going to be something about my soul. And it's that seems to me to be maybe particularly American in a sort of a wonderful way.
Was there a book that a bunch of people wrote in and said they couldn't finish that you wanted to put up a billboard saying, take the time, it's worth it, go ahead and finish War and Peace?
That's a great question. War and Peace, I suppose I would argue for, although I think with books in translation, there's always this issue of, are you getting the real story? I mean, certain works by Dostoevsky I thought I had read, and come to find out now that you really need to read all over again in new translations. We now know that the good old venerable Constance Garnett translations that most of us grew up with actually probably weren't really accurate. So now we've got to go back and read the whole thing all over again. Brothers Karamazov and Crime and Punishment and The Idiot and Possessed and on it goes.
Julia Keller is the culture critic at the Chicago Tribune. You can read her column, When to Give Up on a Book, at npr.org. She joined us from member station WOSU in Columbus. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Rebecca.